You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
If I'm sick, sick, I'm
right because
home.
The children.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
because the last thing I need to do is give it to them and then have them give it right back to
right.
me.
Right. Nope.
Those little butts. The only thing they like to share
is germs. That's true.
Oh yeah. Welcome.
What's up, theater geeks?
That was like the flattest welcome.
It's because you don't feel well. It's all right.
I'm sorry. Not
we
even
can't be mega exponentially July 4th chipper every episode. You know,
I'm
we're humans.
I'm so tired.
Yeah.
You know, I work a lot.
Yeah, seven days a week is a lot. Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The babies. Yeah. Just, you know, babies. And everyone's teething and everyone's being selfish and jerky. And then the weekends are great because I love dogs. I think, now don't tell Miles this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't tell my my employer. I like dogs better than babies.
Yeah. I'm with you.
So I do love going, which is why I do work 7 days a week, because I love going there and working with the dogs. But I'm just exhausted. And so like Saturdays are always just overbooked. Like booked. And so, I'm, you know, you're just like from start to finish, head down, grooming a dog in front of you. You just never know when it's going to end. So, and it's good because it's lucrative that way.
Right.
But it's also just exhausting.
Yeah.
So I'm tired and I'm run down a little bit and I'm just kind of coasting to vacation.
Wait, because that's when your nephew graduates.
Mm-hmm.
Mine, is that the last weekend?
It's the weekend of Memorial Day.
And then mine graduates the first weekend in June. So I just booked my hotel.
Okay.
So I need to book my train and plane. I think I'm going to take a plane one way and a train the other way.
Oh, like it.
Do you feel old?
Always.
That like our nephews are graduating high school.
And this is the oldest of the nephews. So like this is the first one to graduate.
Yeah, mine too. Same.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. It's kind of nuts. I know. I definitely remember when he was born.
Yeah. Same.
I wasn't old.
And it had been such a long gap since I had seen him. So I saw him again in December 2017. But it had been like, because our father died in 2008. So it had been like 9 years since I had seen him.
Oh, wow.
So he was massive, and his father, my big brother, is like 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
So no, I'm lying, 6'5" or 6'7".
Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah, I think he got my Uncle Piana's genes, because my Uncle Piana is huge too. He is 6'5". And so I went there and I was like, holy geez, he was in elementary school the last time I had seen him.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It really is.
Because I see my family basically once a year anymore. So, it was right around, I think, and he's going to be so embarrassed if he ever listens to this. It was right around when he was turning 14 that his voice was starting to change.
Aww.
And he was getting a little peach fuzz. And he's always been, a big, solid guy.
Yeah.
Even as a baby. So we knew that that was going to be the case. But, like, he's super tall and super beefy. He plays football.
Aww.
Like, he's a big, solid dude. But I can't believe it.
I know.
I just can't. I look at him, I'm like, no, where did my little homie go?
I know. So big. Like, bigger than you. Could just swallow you and they give you a hug.
He's
it's
so
just
embarrassed
so weird.
To give hugs, too.
Really?
Like, get over here and give your Aunt Pamela a hug.
Mine gives hugs. But his dad is super squishy. Like,
okay.
My brother is, like, squishier than... Like, I'm not a terribly squishy person, but my brother's
That's
such
true.
A...
That's true. You're not squishy.
He's very squishy.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one... Holden is the one when he was, like... I don't know, like a year and a half, 2 years old. Mm-hmm. I used to do this thing with him where, and this was still when I was living in Bloomington, so I saw him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I would go, give me a kiss. And he would give me a kiss. And then I'd say, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And we would just go on and on and on until we would just dissolve into giggles.
Yeah.
And then I remember the heartbreaking time where I say, give me a kiss, another one, another one. Aunt Pamela, why I have to give you so many kisses?
How How old was he when that happened?
He must have been like three.
Three? That ended so fast.
I know. And I was like, because I am your aunt and I love you and I want you to give me as many kisses as I need. There, I've got a great picture of him where I taught him how to catch snowflakes. So both of us, I'm holding him in one arm and we're both lifting our heads to the skies and That's have mouths adorable. Wide open with snowflakes. And you know, it was, yeah, I just love this kid. Love him. So and I'm freaking so cute. Proud of him.
Oh gosh. Time.
I know. What were we talking about? So intermission.
Side. Yeah. So it's a mini-sode. So this week, we're going to talk about some notable closings and openings. Also just reiterate like last week's episode, which was the women's cycle. So last week you guys listened to the full episode. And that was the third installment of our New Works series. And hopefully we'll have more this season. But that show, if you live in the New York area, if you don't live in the New York area, but you're going to visit, that show's going to be July 11th, 12th, and 14th at the Cell Theater in Chelsea, New York. And it's really an event. So when you first walk in, you'll be treated to an art installation. And then there's going to be free desserts by a woman named Vanessa Ceballos, who owns a restaurant in Sunnyside, Queens called Firefly. And then you'll also have wine will be provided by a group of lady wine purveyors. And then there will be two stage readings with a 15 intermission in between the two. It's really going to be amazing. Come support women creatives. Come support women-owned businesses. Come support women artists. And have some good food and a lot of fun. And yes, please bring the men as well. This is not only for women. Like, we can't have a real conversation, I feel, about gender dynamics and equality if we don't have both genders yes. at the table. So it is really important that men also attend. So
and bring, I think you'll really enjoy it,
yeah,
guys.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So come. All right. So on that note, I haven't told Pamela this yet. So I am going to be in a magazine called Voyage ATL, and our podcast is going to be mentioned in the magazine.
Dude, that's awesome.
With our podcast photos.
Is this an Atlanta-based magazine?
It is, but they also feature people outside of the city. And because we do have listeners in Atlanta, yeah. they were like, okay, like, so wow. that's going to happen. So that should be out in May, I believe.
Cool.
So look out for that. And then let's get down to some shows that are happening, you guys. So
some shows.
Some shows.
Some shows.
Title of show.
Yes.
Freaking love that show. When we were trying to make this podcast, the number of times I listen to Die Vampire Die, I can't even, they're just countless because we were struggling so hard to get the sound to work.
So,
like, it was rough.
So hard.
It was really hard.
That was a true test of our relationship.
At the very beginning.
At the very beginning to see if it was even going to be possible to work together yeah. because we were just dealing with so many outside yeah. forces against us that it was literally like, I don't know. I don't know if this is even going to work. Should we even do this anymore? I hate this idea. Let's stop.
And we did it. And we here didn't. We are 2 years later.
Here we are.
Yeah. So they had the 10th anniversary concert a couple of weeks ago. And I was able to go, and it was so much fun.
Awesome.
It was so much fun. And then when they sing the last song, like, I'd rather be nine people's favorite thing than 100 people's ninth favorite thing. And behind them, they showed, like, all of the productions that have happened all around the world, and people were, like, crying.
Oh, cool.
I mean, it was just so awesome. And I've heard that some of the writers try to go to as many of the productions of title of show as they can. But it was just so neat to actually see, like, Susan, Heidi, and all the characters, like, actually being played, because I didn't see the original production when it was on Broadway a few years ago. And so I have become an obsessive fan, like, since. And it's really because I feel like that show encapsulates the creative process so well. Sure. And all of, like, the mental gymnastics you have to go through in order to get the thing made. Mm-hmm. And so I just love it so much.
Cool.
So that was fun. I got to see Choir Boy before it closed. Oh, yeah. It was real good.
Yeah.
It's real good. I loved it. Oh, it's so good. You guys. I'm sad it's closed. Yeah. It was so good.
Was it a limited engagement?
No. No, it was not.
So they were just not getting butts in the seats? That's too bad.
It really is. And it was funny because one of the main characters, basically like the bully in the play, mm-hmm. I kept staring at this kid and I was like, why does he look so familiar? And it was because he was in Hamilton the last time I had seen it.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, that's why his face looks... But it's a gorgeous play because it's not just like a straight play. It's like a play with music and dancing.
Yeah.
And there's no... when the boys sing, it's always a cappella, and it's gorgeous.
Oh, nice.
So gorgeous. It was, it was so good. I just...
I wonder if they do a cast recording of that.
I hope so.
That would be... Is it original music, or is it all, like, hymns and stuff?
Some of it, yeah. It's, like, a mix of, like, hymns. I think there was, like, a Boys to Men song in there. But like the way the songs are used mm-hmm. are just perfect. It's like in musical theater when there's so much in your heart that the character can no longer speak. Mm-hmm. So they have to sing is exactly the way that they used it in this play. I loved it so much.
That's really neat.
Such a good show. And then I saw White Noise. I won the first free preview at the Public Theater. So
what's that one about?
it's hard to like say too much because like mm-hmm. you don't want to give it away. Like what's going to happen?
What would I see if I saw a poster for it?
I mean, the poster is just their faces.
Okay.
It doesn't really tell you anything. Mm. It is a play about race dynamics in America.
Okay.
And yeah, right. So at the end, I was kind of struggling with it because I didn't understand, as a black person, I didn't understand why the main character made the choice. And I was talking to one of my friends who had seen a show that was also open this season off Broadway that used a similar device. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, like, I think that it's actually what it's trying to do is just take away this facade that we have of, like, that, you know, when people say, I'm not racist, I have a black friend.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it, like, this just strips away the niceties and gets down to, like, the root.
Yeah.
And that, no, you actually still do have racism in your heart.
Yeah.
And so
this is deep seated.
So deep.
Even if you don't, because I know that there's still probably stuff in my own head.
Yeah.
That is racist that I don't consider racist. I can't give you an example, obviously, right. But it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, everything is so deep seated.
It really is. It really is. And that's why there's a lot of workshops now, especially in corporate environments that are about unconscious mm-hmm. bias.
Yeah.
Because people don't like it's in there and, you know, people say dumb things like, I'm not racist. I have a black friend. Or I'm not racist, but, and I'm telling you, I always remember Dr. Phil said, as soon as you say the word but,
yes.
that means that forget everything else I just
that
said.
With a racist
That's
comment.
Right.
Yeah.
Forget everything else I just said. This is what I really mean. Right. And I totally think that is 100% true.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So all I'm going to say is go see White Noise.
Cool.
That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Because it just got like a second or third extension. Nice. And so now it's like, it's farther into May than it was before.
Okay.
So those are the things I saw that were awesome. Mm-hmm. Some things that are closing. Anastasia closed last week.
Yeah.
Kinky Boots and The Band's Visit closed today, which is April 7th. You guys are going to hear this a couple of days later, but April 7th, those two shows closed. And then openings, Oklahoma, The Revival. I did get to see it at St. Anne's Warehouse. It's real good.
Great.
And really smart and innovative. I still don't understand the ballet.
It's like, a dream.
It's,
I mean, that's all it is.
Right.
It's a dream.
It's weird.
Just goes from one, you know, idea to the next without really any idea why.
Right.
It's her, Oklahoma is so rife with, well, it's so, to be honest, it really tells the Me Too story so,
yeah,
so well.
Yeah.
Because Lori, who by all accounts is incredibly independent. Mm-hmm. She and her aunt live together and they work the farm together and they don't need no men, mm-hmm. but also they don't have any men. And at that time, that was really unheard of.
Right.
So you have Curly, who is a love interest, but Lori, even though she likes him, doesn't want to give up certain freedoms and certain right. independence. Mm-hmm. And she wants it to be a romance on her terms.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
Then you've also got Judd, who is probably more the norm in that society
right.
than Curly was, who is a bully and a rapist mm-hmm. and won't take no for an answer. So you've got this woman who wants to be independent, but against a man like Judd, really can't do anything to defend herself.
Right.
So then she has to form an alliance with Curly,
yeah.
which just, I mean, can you imagine having to make a decision to do something that ultimately you would have wanted to do anyway, mm-hmm. but because you were forced to make the decision, the kind of antagonism between you and that partner
right.
would exist. Like I, or not antagonism, but more, oh shoot, I can't think of the word right now, but like just a splinter gets in under there
yeah.
and you live with it and you live with it until you just can't live with it anymore. It's just, what am I thinking of? I mean, I guess antagonism.
Yeah, I can't.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
I'm sure
there's
people are yelling
the
word.
I know
what you
I'm
mean.
I'm sorry. I'm really tired. I can't think when I'm tired. But that, I love all of Rodgers and Hammerstein's stuff
yeah,
is like
so
that.
Good.
Because on the surface, it's so flouncy and fun.
Right, but
and
it's
you've
not
got all
if
this
you look
light, bright music, but the themes underneath and the theme, and these are every show they've ever written.
It's true.
The themes underlying those shows are so heady and so deep and so violent mm-hmm. sometimes, most of the time. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that we are still doing them in high schools.
I think, yeah, it's great. It's great. And this production really highlights those things
yeah.
without like changing the dialogue.
Awesome.
And I also love the fact that they have a woman who is physically disabled in the way that they set the stage at St. Anne's Warehouse. I do not know how it's going to be or how it is because it's open now on Broadway. Mm-hmm. But it was just like so smart how they did it, and it just works really well. And it also gives her, you know, range to be able to be wherever she needs to be at any time, all over the theater. And so that it was just so great to see it there. And then at intermission, they gave everybody like cornbread and chili, and it was just
fun.
Like so sweet. I loved it. I loved it. So guys, There are plenty of tickets still, I think. Please go see Oklahoma. If you were in town, go see that revival. It's great. And then also King Lear with Glenda Jackson. Oh, I want to see it so badly.
Me too. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but
so bad. Yeah, that's over from London, because she did that over there on the West End. And then it was sort of like people were sort of begging it to come here. So it's here.
Awesome.
It's here, and I don't think it's to be missed. And then What the Constitution Means to Me by Heidi Schreck, which was at New York Theater Workshop, you know, just a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And then it's made its transfer to Broadway now. And it's sort of a one-woman show. Not really, because she does have a young person that she debates with, because it's the story sort of centered around the fact that when she was a high schooler, she went to a lot of debate competitions. Mm-hmm. And she would debate the Constitution a lot.
Oh.
And so it's centered on like her relationship with the Constitution and sort of understanding like what it actually means for certain people groups now. Mm-hmm. That she's a grown up and knows and understands what's happening in the world around her more than she did when she was younger. So I've heard it's wonderful. I did not get to see it off Broadway, so hopefully I will get to see it on Broadway. That's it for notable openings and closings that we're going to talk about. I did want to talk about one other thing as for the last piece, but I went to see a movie screening of a very, very, very short film. And by very, very short, I mean it was literally 4 minutes long, called Nevertheless, She Auditioned.
Oh.
And it's this 4 minute short film that was produced by all women. Well, there was one guy, but everybody else was a woman. The director, the woman who came up with the concept, everything. And it's just like this woman is auditioning, but it starts out where the tables are turned. So there are three women that are the casting directors and the director and everything. And they're sitting there and they're auditioning men and saying to the men all of the things that women hear in auditions.
Amazing.
It was, I mean, everything that came out of their mouths, like all the women were laughing because it's things that everyone has heard, you know?
It just sounds ridiculous when you're saying it to a man, but for some reason it's okay to say it to a woman.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
No, that really is very funny.
Yeah. I was like, this is so smart. And like really frustrating. So then at the end of the film, you realize what happened is in her head.
Okay.
And she's being auditioned, but they're saying all that dumb stuff to her. And I was just like, I'm not an actor, so I've never sat in on that end of the, I've never been in, on that side of the audition room where I've been the one auditioning.
Yeah.
Like I haven't done that since like high school and college, but some of those things are said to women no matter where they are in life. Like it's just a part of being female, which is really some BS.
Yeah. That for some reason, anyone who is anybody, stranger, foe, friend, whatever, can say what they want to about your body. Can say whatever they want.
Whatever they want.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
So you guys probably don't know, but like Pamela and I have both lost some weight this year. And in this process, it has been so maddening. Because people feel like they are entitled to tell you how they felt about your body before or how they feel about it now.
Yeah.
I didn't ask you.
Right.
I didn't tell you. I was like,
I did was lose the weight.
Yeah. I was living my life, making my choices.
The number of times I have been told by someone, wow, you look terrific. Don't lose any more weight, though. And you're like, wow. Don't say anything else. Or this is one that I really love. Oh my gosh, you've lost a ton of weight. And you're like, wow. I mean, I don't think I've lost 200 pounds. I don't think I had 200 pounds to lose.
You did not.
But thanks.
Yeah, right?
It's so like the wording really does mean something. But no, you are absolutely right.
It's and so in frustrating.
Fact, one of those comments came to me in an audition. In fact, and it was from a woman.
Yeah.
And I think we actually, as women, are sometimes even harder on each other than...
I'm telling you, yeah. All of the comments I've heard since this process were all from women.
Yeah. Because I said...
I take that back. There were a couple of men in there. There were.
Yeah, okay.
There definitely were. But it's like mostly women.
But the woman was the one who said anything. Yeah. And I walked into the room. They hadn't seen me in for a very long time. And they went, whoa, Pamela, what have you been doing? And I was like, oh, gosh, you know what? I've been really working on myself. I've lost about 50 pounds so far. That's all I had to say so far. And she said, oh, honey, you got to stop. You got to stop where you are. This is good. And it was so like, I mean, thank you. But that's not really for you to say.
No.
Does it make you feel better if I stop losing weight? Because it certainly doesn't make me feel better. And I'm the one that's doing it for myself. I'm not doing it for anybody else. So it's a very frustrating thing.
Yeah.
And that goes both ways. Right. If I were to gain weight, I would probably have people going, Pamela, what's going on? Yeah. Are you okay?
No, that's
Is
happened.
Is there something that's going on in your life right now? Because it looks like you're gaining weight and that's just not healthy.
And it's like, we
Pamela,
would literally never do this to
How
other people.
Because it's just not safe. It's not healthy to lose so much. And you're just like, shut up. Exactly. We would never. Never.
I've never done that to anyone.
Uh-uh. You know what you say? Oh my gosh. You look amazing.
Yeah, that's it.
Bye. Have
Full
a great
stop.
Day.
Full stop.
Exclamation point. That is all you need.
I'm telling you.
My friend is heavily pregnant right now and went to and had visited Florida for her family. And then she came back and had a doctor's appointment. And the doctor or the nurse in the room said, waiter, and then said, oh, someone ate well on vacation. And she told me that story. And it was just like, no, you don't get to say that.
No.
You get to say, wow, you're glowing. That's I it. Hope you had a great vacation.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all. Well, and really, honestly, I'm not asking for anything from you. I'm not asking for any comment at all. I'm doing it for myself. So if you notice, you don't have to say anything at all. And I'll be perfectly okay with that.
It's really been disappointing. People are, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and even stuff like, you know, I'll hear, oh gosh, I saw someone's parent and then that someone told me later that the parent said I looked very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And when am I going to get married?
Like, why? Oh, God. That's putting me on a whole nother thing.
Right.
Why is that? Why is getting married mean anything?
Yeah. Or someone that sees
That's
someone
like,
that sees you and says, gosh, you're just so cute.
Yeah.
Why are you single?
Yeah, this isn't.
Well, gosh, let me think about it. I have a queen size bed and all that really fits in there is me and my two dogs. I don't need anybody else.
I don't
want anybody else. I am living my own life and I'm making my own
decisions
and I like that. And Lord knows that if someone comes around the corner that is meant to be, that's fine. But I am not actively pursuing that because I don't want to.
I don't understand, like, I don't know. These are things I just don't ever say to people.
Right.
So that's why I don't understand why they get said to me or you. Like, those.
Well, it's like, this is what our small talk has turned into.
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you have a husband? Do you have any children?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just, and if the answer is no to any of those, then it's just like, oh, why not? Well, wow, that's very personal.
Are we still in the 50s? And like that's what it feels like. And like literally that's why we're doing the women's cycle.
Well, listen, if this was still the 1950s, 37-year-old Pamela would have been written off a long time ago.
Although I feel like in
At
this
age
culture
25.
Right. You're an old maid.
Right. And I'm okay with that.
But like I still like that stuff I still hear from people. So I'm like, you guys, 21st century, come on.
Right.
Get it together. That's literally why we're doing this show, because of that stuff.
Yep.
I'm so tired of it.
Totally. And we should be. I'm hoping you're all taking notes. This is what people feel. Real, normal, average women living in today's society.
Yeah.
I think we're known as exennials.
Are we? That's the first I heard of that. It.
Listen, we were the generation that didn't have a name. We were between Generation X.
And the millennials.
And the millennials. But now they're calling us exennials.
Oh my goodness.
But now, see, I read somewhere though, now that we are considered millennials.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's true because they just moved the date. They were like, everybody like, after 1980.
The date's so weird because I also heard it means like if you graduated in the 2000s.
Oh, well, that's not me.
Right. Like, but the date, like, it's like no one really knows.
Right.
So they're just making things up.
Yeah, totally. You know, if you're... If you ever went to the bathroom in 1996.
If you ever went to the bathroom in 1996.
I don't know. I just made that up.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Okay. Well, guys, on that note.
That was a very long intermission.
It was a long intermission.
Enjoy. Enjoy. I'll edit out the dog barking.
Thank you for listening. Yes, and, you know, the usual, email us, especially I want to say, since we just ended Women's History Month, if you have any thoughts about stupid things people have said to you, you know, I'm serious.
Tweet at us. Yes.
Because I would love to commiserate with you and send Pamela messages on Facebook.
Hey, listen,
like, really.
You send us funny stories. We'll read them on the air.
We absolutely will.
If you want us to. But let us know if you want us to.
Yeah, let us know.
And I live for that kind of stuff.
It's so much fun.
It is so much fun. Because even though at the end of the day it makes you want to cry in the moment, and you're just, all you can do is laugh at it.
You're laughing and you're like, but really? You said that out loud to a human?
Ugh. Right. Next week, by the way, the week after this one airs, we're gonna have another full episode, so we're kind of getting back into the groove of things. Thank you for bearing with us and for being patient. I know that our scheduling has been just slightly off and you don't always get an episode every week, but thanks for hanging in there.
Thank you. Thanks, guys, we appreciate you.
Yes, we do.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.